Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'll say one thing. We've got some really good, experienced, tight singers there in the choir. Always good to hear good choirs. I know in Nashville we have a choir now that has grown between maybe 25 to 30 people, and we certainly like to hear all the good choir singing. Very delightful to have that in our midst here, of course. From the time I was a little kid, not too long ago, I was fascinated with the marvelous invention of the radio. And at about age 12, through mail order, I got a crystal radio set. What a fantastic thing that was. And if you don't know what it is, it's a little crystal about the size of a dime, and there's a safety pin hooked to a wire that goes to a set of earphones, and you can scratch that little wire in different places on that crystal. It'll pick up all the local radio channels. Very neat thing. Well, I wanted to expand upon that, and without my mom and dad knowing it at first, but I found an old piece of wire that the Cincinnati Electric Company was using on the highway. It was about 30 feet long. So I put that out my bedroom window and ran it up a tree, and I could pick up some great stations, like all the way from Del Rio, Texas. Now, they had a flamethrower down there that was far more than 50,000 watts. You know, the 50,000-watt ones, we had several right here in Cincinnati, but out of Chicago, WLS, and then down in Nashville where I'm at right now, WLAC, I used to like to listen to late-night radio there, John Richburg, and then also would come on a little bit later was Hossman Bill Allen, and they would play the blues music. I loved hearing that. But then my mom and dad found out that this wire that went out my bedroom window and up a tree could get hit by lightning, so that... That kind of shattered my late night listening to radios. But during that process, and a little bit later on, I'm still fascinated with radio. But I got a job in Long Beach, California, several years ago. I worked for Douglas Aircraft out there. I had two top secret clearances with that company out there. And one night, going home from work, listening to a station called KFOX, there in Long Beach, and Mr. Randy Stiver reminded me on the first day that brought all this back up again about the radio, and I heard this booming voice come out of the radio one night, and it sounded something like this. It was, "Greetings, friends from around the world. This is Herbert W. Armstrong bringing you the good news of the world tomorrow." And then a little bit later, he mentioned about, you can write in for the Plain Truth magazine, and you can also write in for a free Bible correspondence course. And I thought, free? I'm a little skeptical about that. But the word free kind of hooked me. Wrote in for that correspondence course in the Plain Truth magazine. The rest is history. I talk about being hooked on radio and hooked on the news that I heard. Well, the story that Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong was talking about is the wonderful world tomorrow. And it is pictured in the 7 days that we are now keeping. And what a blessing it is. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles, of course. You've already heard that. And it pictures the 1,000-year period after the return of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And this millennial period of time will be the start of the wonderful world tomorrow. And there's a whole lot that God has planned for us during that 1,000-year period. As mentioned, it's going to be a peaceful time, but not at first. There'll be some wars going on prior to that. But the wonderful world tomorrow, it is the time that God's government will be set up. All over the world, his government will be around the world and ruled by our elder brother, Christ Jesus. This will be a time when Satan the devil and his demons will be bound and restrained, and people will be able to be taught God's way of life without any interference. How wonderful that will be. Our wonderful Heavenly Father is in the process of enlarging His spirit family, and we are called to be in His great plan of salvation. Just think how awesome that is, that a little handful out of each generation, it seems like, all the way down through time here, that we are called, and this is our opportunity, to have a willing heart. If we have a willing heart, that's what God the Father looks for. God the Father does the calling. And if we have a willing heart, then He turns us over to His Son, Jesus the Christ, to work with us. But we are in His plan of salvation, and we are in the process of growing toward total conversion. We are being taught and we are being tested to live by the very character of God. Our Heavenly Father has been calling and cleansing those of us who have been having a willing heart, wanting to learn, wanting to know more. And He has been doing that from the time of our physical parents, Adam and Eve. He is teaching us His way of life and is offering us the wonderful, the fantastic gift of eternal life. If we choose to believe, if we choose to obey, if we choose to live by His will and not by our human nature, we must be overcomers, overcomers of our human nature. But God makes it very, very clear that we must choose His way of life. He's not going to force Himself on anyone. He's putting the opportunity out there for us. This is our time. I heard a man one time say, well, you know, I think I'll just go ahead and live my human nature life here, and I'll just wait. And he heard something about that second resurrection. He said, well, I'll just go ahead and do what I want to do, and then I'll come up in the second resurrection. I broke his bubble. Let him know that he will not be in that group. This is his opportunity right now. And at that time, he was attending church services for about 3 years. So he knew what was going on. I don't know why he thought he could have a way out and choose when God is going to be calling him. But he did repent of that. He did change. And he is with one of our churches on the West Coast right now. God's way of life and not Satan's way of death is what our Creator wants us to choose. Our Heavenly Father wants us to choose life. Everlasting life is what He is offering us. How awesome is that? Another way to look at it, our Father is in the process of harvesting humans. Yes, we know that from the spring holy days of how he compared the harvest seasons of the physical crops to Him harvesting humans. To be changed to spirit from this temporary flesh, to be like Him and His Son, Jesus the Christ. If we have been faithful, if we have been obedient, and then we die, then that's okay. It's part of God's plan. We all live in this temporary body, and He is in charge of that. Speaking of dying, here's some sad news for the Ellithorpe family down in Nashville, Tennessee. Our dear sister, Atha Ellithorpe, her husband, his name is Herbert, she died last night. She had cancer of the jaws, and they were removed and took the chemotherapy and just really didn't work out very well at all. And so anyway, please pray for the Ellithorpe family. It's been a rough 7 years that they have gone through in this process of the chemotherapy and the radiations and things like that. So, but God has a plan for her. She has run her race, and the next waking moment, she will see Jesus the Christ. And how wonderful that is. In God the Father puts us to rest when we die of this flesh. He puts us to rest, and you can just think of it this way as maybe a way of looking at it. He puts us back on the shelf, so to speak. We are unconscious, just as we were before He formed us in our mother's womb, until it's time to be resurrected. And when Christ returns, in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, the dead in Christ will rise, and those who are still alive would be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye. God really has it planned out. He is a merciful God. How horrible it would be. I have heard some of the Sunday preachers, as you scan through the TV channels, where they will be talking about, well, you know, I'll meet up with old grandpa so-and-so, and we'll be fishing, or we will be doing this, we will be doing that, as if they are conscious. They are not. Ecclesiastes tells us that the dead knows nothing, which is a fantastic blessing. Fantastic blessing in God's plan. Because from the time that you die until the time that Christ comes back is a twinkling of the eye. My wife Pat and I were with my dad as he was dying. And my dad looked over at me and he said this question. He says, "What do you think it's going to be like being dead?" And I swallowed real hard and I thought for a couple of seconds. And here's what God put in my mind to explain to my father. I told him, I says, you know, at the time that we are born, our brain is like a tape recorder. God pushes the on button, and we start recording memories. I said, and then we live our life with all these memories that are recorded. And then when it's time to die, he pushes the off button. And Dad was listening real close, of course. And then I said, you know, at the return of Jesus Christ, we may be dead a couple thousand years or whatever, we don't know. I said, but when God chooses to send Christ back to this earth, then he's going to push the on button for those that have been obedient to him. And your memory will start from there on. It'll be just like a little space in the middle of that tape is all it'll be. Yes, the Feast of Tabernacles, this wonderful feast that our Heavenly Father has commanded us to keep and enjoy forever, has great meaning in what it pictures. Very, very fascinating that the plan of God is, and how thankful we are to be called out to know it. It gives us a snapshot, these days, these 7 days that we are keeping, gives us a snapshot of what God has planned for us in the world tomorrow, that thousand-year period that we will be working under our elder brother, Jesus the Christ. And as we enjoy, and it was also mentioned about this being Family Day today, we are to see that there is great hope for our children in God's plan. And just to refresh a little bit, let's do turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's start in verse 4 through 7 there to start with. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We shall love the Lord God, with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today, you shall be in your heart." Verse 7, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on your way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." We are expected to have full attention to the calling that God has given us of what he wants us to think about in reverence to him. And to understand his plan. But he wants us to teach these lessons diligently to our children. That is a responsibility that we have. In our human life, we have seen others, and some of us also have experienced pain and suffering within our own families with relationships with our children. I know we have a family in the Nashville area. I'm not going to mention their names. But many years ago, they scrimped and saved all the money, and they put all five of their children through Ambassador College. It didn't mean a thing. Today, not one of them is in God's church. And these parents are up in age, and they are very heartbroken. They were hoping to ensure that their children would get the full exposure. Well, they did. But it takes God the Father to do the calling. So what they had in their heart was good thinking, but it just did not stick, and they're going to have to accept that. But there are many relationships and families that are really having problems, even yet today, of course, even more so today probably. And we have to realize that Satan is out there to snatch away our children. We must be on guard constantly. But our responsibility is to teach these lessons of obeying God and honoring God to our children. We need to do our part and let God do his part in the calling. You know, after all, families are made up of people who struggle under the burden of sin. Satan is alive and well, and he is working extremely hard to steal away our children and us. We do have an enemy out there. And this is not the way that God intended in the beginning that things ought to be. Again, as parents, we have a great responsibility to teach our children God's truth, his way of life, and we need to be doing that from the day they are born. That is a responsibility that we have from the time that they are born. They are a gift from God to us. God instituted the human family when he created our original parents, Mother Eve and Adam. However, their sin and rebellion against God brought havoc into the into their relationship with God, their father, our father, and into the generations of families. In their own family, they experienced violent acts that happened there with their son Cain, who murdered his brother Abel. And that kind of caused a emerging, ongoing cycle of trouble. That is something that is really increased today. You can turn on your TV in the mornings. That's when we turn ours on. We hear some news. And you can hear of families that are killing each other. Sons and daughters, and I know around Nashville it has really got really rugged over the years. I don't know how Cincinnati is these days, probably the same all across the country. But in the church, we do have families that are struggling to have that good relationship with their children. In Ephesians, there is a strong message for our children and all of us. Let's do turn to Ephesians Chapter 6, very familiar scriptures here. I remember years ago in the YOU, when we were teaching YOU, these were memory verses that we had our children to memorize. Find Ephesians 6 here for you. In Ephesians 6, let's start reading in verse 1 there. Very strong point here for our children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Well, of course, that is the fifth commandment, the only commandment that has that offer of long life here on earth. Verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. You know, when we have our jobs and we have a boss over us, sometimes we have what we call good bosses and some that are pretty rough, that are pretty strong in us. But how should we treat each of them? We should treat each of them as if we are working for Christ, because we are. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, knowing constantly who our Father and our God is. Verse 7, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. We are put into a position which is a blessing from God, and we need to realize who we are really working for and who our real boss is. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Verse 9. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening. You don't want to lord it over someone, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. God treats us all the same. He has the tally book on each one of us, and we want to make sure that we are in the right column, not the wrong column. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yes, we are fighting against forces that are created different from us. They are spirit beings that live forever. We know what the fate is of the bad ones there, of course. But they are stronger than us right now. And we have to know that who our Father is and how we are to be obeying. That's what God wants to see out of us. In 1 Timothy 3, it gives us a snapshot of the qualifications of an overseer, which are the same characteristics of a father being the head of his own household. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 3. I don't have really good light up here, but I'll do the best I can with it. 1 Timothy 3, let's read verses 1 through 5. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? So that's what we look for, of course, when we are choosing deacons, elders, and things that we should all be striving for, to have the character of God. We all must be practicing the character of God every day of our life. God's character must become our habits in everything that we think, say, and do. You know, as we grow up, we will take a look at our mom and dad or friends that we go to school with or people that we work with. And if we're not careful, their character will rub off on us. You can work in a office with close people, and you cringe sometime at the behavior that they do. But we want to be careful that Satan is not there prompting us to act like them. We must make new habits in our life, because our old habits will lead to death. We don't want to do that. Well, our children are the same way. Their little minds are like a sponge from the second that they are born. And our children will see and hear us and will follow and speak just as we do. They will say to themselves and also to their friends and to their siblings, if mom and dad says it, or if mom and dad does it, it has to be right. They have that reverence of mom and dad who is in charge. And so if mom and dad sets that example and says these things or does other or such and such, it has to be right. And in most cases, our children will become a carbon copy of us. Be hard for them to break those habits as they grow up. All of us are in the same boat on that. We have all learned bad habits. We all need to learn the good habits of the character of God. But our children is our responsibility. God holds us responsible. We have to really make sure that we are doing the will of God and living by every word of God. That's what we're called to do. God gave us the tools. We have the printed Bible that we can read, something that we need to do. Speaking of Mr. Herbert Armstrong, I remember he said this over and over again. In fact, I've heard him out in Pasadena say this many times. Do not take my word for anything. You open up your own Bible and you prove all things yourself. Well, that's exactly what God the Father wants us to do as well. Again, this festival teaches us events leading up to the return of Christ, in which he will establish a new society with himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords under God the Father. And Christ will be assisted by the resurrected saints. And who are his saints? Those that God has called. Those that have a willing heart to accept what God is teaching us and to be obedient in every way, to do what Jesus Christ said, that he says, I want you to love one another. I know in John 17, that was one of the last prayers that Jesus was saying there to God the Father. In John 17, he says, let them be one as we are one, with that complete harmony of living in the character of them, God the Father and Jesus Christ. But he will be assisted by the resurrected saints, those that have died, like Mrs. Atha Ellithorpe that just died last night. I've had many conversations with her over the years that I've known her. And I've known her probably 42 years, I believe it is. And during these 7 years, I went to the hospitals and prayed with her and had good conversations with her. The lady taught me some things about faith. And she was repeating another elderly lady over in, that was in our Jackson church many years ago. And is what she said when she was about 90 years old. She says, if I go or if I stay with God, I'm a winner either way. And Mrs. Atha Ellithorpe had that same faith. She says, you know, we are all temporary anyway. And I would prefer to go quicker. And we had some conversations, and I said, well, you know, I'm kind of a chicken myself. I said, you know, I would love to just go to bed one night and just wake up, and it's the return of Christ. But God knows best for each and every one of us. And I explained to her that she was, Mrs. Ellithorpe, I explained to her that she was an inspiration to a whole lot of other people. When a person goes through a trial, it's not just for them. It's for the onlookers as well. And she had this cancer over a 7-year period. Very hard struggle for her and her husband and family. And the onlookers that looked on, we kept them up to date in what she was going through. And it changed a whole lot of people to be more humble, including myself. And we certainly appreciate God's saints, but at the return of Christ, Christ will be assisted by those that have died and is now waiting for the resurrection. And his government will be here on earth. You know, you talk about people, you know, that are on the mainstream media, in the news and also in churches, and they'll talk about, you know, when I get to heaven, I'll have it made. I'll be doing this or I'll be doing that. Little do they know that God the Father is going to come here and be with us here on earth. God created this little bitty pebble. If you look at what the Hubble telescope saw, the earth is just a little speck, not very big at all. But he created this little planet for us, who are made in this temporary body, made from the dust of the ground, to sustain us. What marvelous miracles our Heavenly Father has created for us. You know, just living day to day, we will take things for granted what God has done. And there is no evolution about it. God is the creator. he spoke things into action and things into creation. He and his son, Jesus the Christ. Well, there's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a wedding. Right now, God the Father is in the process of picking the bride for his son. God the Father is picking the bride for his son. And we are the called to be in that family. And he is helping us to make ourselves ready. We have to be ready. We have to be cleaned up. We have this time period that we're living in this temporary flesh, which is actually a very short time, but with the help of Jesus Christ, we are getting the barnacles knocked off of us from what we are being taught and shown and through the power of God's Holy Spirit. We are learning to get ourselves ready so that we can wear the fine linen wedding garments that are white and clean. Let's turn back to Revelation and read a little bit about that. I'm not going to read in Revelation 21 because I want to save that for Mr. Randy Stiver for the eighth day, because I want to hear the continuation of his sermon that he gave on the first day. And that'll be a fantastic sermon, I am sure. But in Revelation chapter 19, let's start in verse 1. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot and who captured the earth and her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servant." Servant shed blood. Shed by her. Verse 3. Again they said, "Alleluia. Her smoke rises up forever and ever." There's going to be a house cleaning that is going to be going on. "And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God and sat on the throne saying, 'Amen. Alleluia.' Then a voice came from the throne saying," this was an angel's voice that came from the throne saying, "Praise our God and all his servants and those who fear him, both small and great." You know, whether you were somebody in stature, you're of importance in this life or small or not or whatever, but both small and great. "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thunders, saying, 'Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready.'" Well, we need to be taking all of the information that we are learning about God's holy days, because each one of them are stair steps. They're stepping stones that lead to God's coming kingdom. And we want to be in that wedding party. "And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Are we doing righteous acts in our habits and life? We need to take note and make sure that we are. Verse 9. "Then he said to me, 'Right blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are true sayings of God.'" We need to be getting ourselves ready for that wedding, for that marriage. Because God says that there will be none in his kingdom that will offend. We must be clean and bright and ready to be in God's coming kingdom. Yes, our Savior's leadership and rule will spread from Jerusalem and throughout the entire world and usher in that 1,000 years of peace and prosperity that we have been talking about. what a big change that will be from the way the world governments are run right now. But first, as we read at the return of our Savior, Christ Jesus, there will be opposition from the nations trying to fight and war against our Savior, yes. The peace and harmony of everything is not going to happen right at the return of Christ. Christ is coming back with a sword to put down all of the rulers and the governments of this world, and they will be trying to war against him. And he will teach the house of Jacob, Israel. All the tribes of Israel will learn to walk in the light of the Lord. And that was taken from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, if you want to jot that down. But all of the governments of the world will be put down. And we will be there assisting him if we are obedient and being an overcomer all the way to the end. As Mrs. Ellithorpe was there on her deathbed, she got to the point after she took the radiation treatments and also the chemotherapy, and they took out her both lower jaws, both sides. My wife Pat and I heard her say some of her last words before that operation took place, and she never spoke a word after that last operation. We could talk to her. She had a clear mind, and she could nod her head either yes or no, or make a gesture. So she is ready to return back and be changed as a spirit at the return of Jesus Christ. She is now waiting for the resurrection. We will be having her funeral next week after we all get home from the Feast of Tabernacles. Yes, God's coming kingdom is coming, and Christ will set up that kingdom of God. And we need to make ourselves ready. We, those who are called, have come to know God's plan of salvation, along with the realization that we are now living in a very, very temporary body, made of the dust of the ground. We are far more fragile and weak than we even realize. We kind of take our lives for granted, and a lot of people think, well, you know, I can be an immortal soul right now. No, we're not. Because when we die, again, as I said, we'll be put back on the shelf, unconscious, until the return of Christ. But is what we need to realize while we're still walking and talking and being alive is that this life that we are living right now is a time of learning and testing to get ready for our great potential that our Heavenly Father has planned for us. It's going to be so awesome. I was talking to one of our congregations over in Jackson, Tennessee, and was talking with them about this. And I said, you know, we are being trained to be kings and priests and rulers and teachers. And they kind of looked at each other like, you know, boy, I don't think I could be a teacher. I don't think I could be a ruler or a king or a priest. And I re-explained to them, yes, God will put the words in your mind and in your mouth and in your heart. You will be taught God's way of life so that you will be able to assist Christ when he returns. You'll be able to do all the things. You'll be as powerful as God the Father wants you to be. But he has great potential for us that we are learning right now. Our little tape recorder mind here, so to speak, is recording the things that we need to know. Again, it's still our choice while we're still in this human flesh. It's still our choice that we take these things that we know and we apply them in our life, teach them to our children, and to be changing the habits from this flesh to living in the Spirit before we become Spirit. He wants us to walk in His light. And the people that we walk around will know these things. Mr. Henry Ward was telling me a story years ago, back when we had the America Listen program here many years ago. And he was told, well, go over to the airport, you and this other man, and there's a man that's going to be flying in that has something for you from Pasadena, I believe it was. Flew in, but he had no idea what the man looked like. And he was watching. He knew the number of the plane that was coming in, and he was there at the gate and was watching everybody come off. And Henry was telling me, he says, I looked at all the people that were getting off the plane, and there was one that had a look about him. And he says, I walked up to him and said, are you the one? He said, yes. I don't know what kind of look he had, but Henry knew it. Henry knew that. One of the things that God has to make sure of before he changes us into a spirit being, he has to know if he can trust us enough to be a spirit being that will live forever. Just think about it. That's why we live in this physical flesh, which is temporary. Take a look at Lucifer, who was created so wonderfully. But then we know that his heart changed. He chose to change. And he must have been a really good salesman. He got a third of the angels to go along with him. And then he was going to make an attack and try to take over the throne of God. And even Jesus mentioned that he saw Lucifer, which became Satan, crash to earth like a lightning bolt. He found out real quick how powerful our Creator is. And what we know what God has planned for all of us. We need to be thinking about daily, every waking hour, of how we need to be like Him. We are called, and we have the hope of being changed. Changed from this soil body that we live in, from the dust of the ground, being changed to a spirit being that will live forever. Again, God has to know if He can trust us enough. We are in this process of learning and testing right now. This little short blink of life. And we kind of take life for granted sometimes. And we think, oh, we have several years ahead of us. Well, that's what Satan wants you to think about. Satan wants you to think, well, you've got all this time to change. Why not have some fun in this physical life? He is there to trick us. He and his demons, they are 24-hour people in the spirit form that doesn't have to sleep or rest, and they can catch us at a bad moment if they want to. But we need to work on the habits that God has called us to have. Here's a little set of scriptures that we in the ministry we all use during the funeral. I have performed probably close to 40 funerals, probably, and I think I've used this in most of them. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I will read verses 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Well, somebody was asking me some questions that are new in the faith, and they were wanting to know what part of the air is he going to be in? Is he going to be way up in heaven? Where is he going to be? Well, this is in the air, would be the clouds area, in that part of our atmosphere. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Death is not going to be permanent. It is not permanent unless we refuse God's Holy Spirit, which is something we don't want to do. We need to take these lessons to heart that we are learning right now, and to be diligent about them so that we don't blaspheme God's Holy Spirit. We don't want to come up in that third resurrection. You know, there is three resurrections. The better one, of course, is to, we are being called now and we are choosing now. And that first resurrection, we are changed from flesh to spirit. Now, those that God hasn't called yet, God the Father does the calling, and if he chooses to wait and bring somebody up in the great white throne judgment, that is God the Father's choice. But they will be resurrected from the dead, from the flesh, back into the flesh. That's why the first resurrection is the best one, because we'll be going from, hopefully all of us here, we'll be going from flesh to spirit. Now, we don't want to be in that third resurrection, do we? We don't want to blaspheme God's Holy Spirit. We are offered eternal life. And we are making the choices right now in our lives, in the way that we live, and the way that we think, and the way that we treat others. We are learning these lessons right now to be in that first resurrection. That's where we want to be. These 7 days that we are keeping right now, the Feast of Tabernacles, holds great meaning. Great meaning, and shows us that we have great potential that we can't even realize. God the Father has fantastic things planned for us to be in God's family. Jesus Christ said we will be like Him. Let's all stay steadfast and get ourselves ready and not waste this short time that we are living. Don't waste a second of it. As Mr. Herbert Armstrong would always say, don't take my word for anything. You open up your own Bible, your own book, and you read it. You prove all things. The Bible tells us we are to prove all things. There's going to be a great reunion in the wonderful world tomorrow. And God said, I will wipe away every tear. It's like right now the Ellthorpe family are mourning the loss of their mother, and Mr. Herbert, the loss of his wife. And they have had a really hard time. Please pray for them. But God said that He is going to wipe away every tear. That gives us comfort. That gives us comfort right there. We all have loved ones that we have lost. We're going to see them again. So in closing, I was going to read some things out of Revelation 21. Like I said, I'm going to hold those off because Mr. Randy Stiver is going to be giving us the sermon there on the eighth day. And I want to hear the continuation of his sermon. And we certainly appreciate him being here with us this year. This is the wonderful family day that we have been talking about. Family of God is right here. And we are going to enjoy it as we are commanded to do. And we are all looking forward to the wonderful world tomorrow. Why? Because it's near. Good to see y'all.